The President's Press and Radio News Conference in the Old State Building, 28 February 1952.
Mr. Paul Walker to be the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, and I'm sending down the name of Robert T. Bartley to fill the vacancy.
Would you spell his last name?
B-A-R-T-L-E-Y.
B-A-R-T-L-E-Y,
Bartley.
You know where he's from?
Texas, I guess. Yes, he comes from Bonham, Texas.
Bonham?
Yes.
Or his son-in-law of the speakers and stuff?
That's right.
Nephew.
No.
He said to have his son-in-law.
He said nephew, I guess. Nothing. All right, you take that question out. He's a nephew of a son of the speaker's sister.
I'd like to ask a question, sir, if you...
Now, have you made any progress, sir, in your search for an ambassador to the Vatican?
No.
You still intend to qualify?
I'll let you know when I get ready. I understand that we have some visiting newspaper men who have come to Washington to see how the government works. And another thing that intrigues me is that they're paying their own way. I want to congratulate you on showing that interest in how the government works, and I hope you have a chance to get information that you otherwise couldn't get. It's a pleasure to me to have you here this morning. I hope you enjoy the press conference as much as I do. I'm ready for questions.
Mr. President, we assume that you are still not ready to make any announcement about your political plan.
That's correct.
Well, that being so...
64 dollars, please.
How do you account, Mr. President, for people continuing to come out of your office? The most recent one was Chairman Cooley. And saying that you are going to announce within 2 or 3 weeks. He said that day before yesterday. He said it was a prediction, but apparently an educated one.
I can't be responsible for what people say when they go out of my office, Smitty. This is a free country. They have a right to say whatever they choose. I never tell them what to say.
Mr. President, do you object to officials of the executive branch appearing before congressional committees where they have air coverage, television, and radio?
I think it's better if the committee transacts its business in the manner in which a committee should transact its business, but that's not my affair. That's a matter that the Congress itself has to pass on. Yes.
Did you discuss it with Speaker Rabin he made his decision?
No, I did not. I heard he made the decision. He made it over the telephone in my office, but I didn't say anything to him about it.
Mr. President, this is only indirectly connected with the question. Would you be happy if Adlai Stevenson, Governor Stevenson, were the nominee of the Democratic Party? I mean, do you think he'd be a good president?
He's a very able person. He's made one of the best governors Illinois ever had. That's the best recommendation a man can have for being president.
Mr. President, if you were, had the chore of trying to guess who General MacArthur was for in this campaign, who would you...
No comment. I can't tell what he's thinking about. He'd tell you, I'm sure, when the time comes along. Joe thinks that maybe I ought to tell you a little more about the telephone call. The gentleman called Speaker Rabin and asked if they could use television at the Un-American Activities hearing in Detroit. And the speaker's reply, I heard that reply, was that it was against the rules of the House and he would have to rule against it.
Mr. President, where were you at the time this telephone conversation?
I was sitting at my desk and Sam Rabin was sitting right beside me.
How did the man have to call Mr. Rabin and you while he was talking to you?
It was at a big four meeting, and it was an emergency call, and we always polite at the White House.
Mr. President, on that subject, I think you said that you think it was better that they testify the way they ought to, or committee meetings be held the way they ought to. I at least got the implication there that you thought they shouldn't be before television.
I didn't make any such implication. That's the business of the Congress itself to make that decision. I can't make it for them. And I wouldn't try to influence them in making it. I conducted a lot of committee hearings down there, though, and we didn't make a sideshow out of them.
Well, Mr. President, my original question stayed away from the House jurisdiction at all. I asked you if you objected to your executive officials appearing
Never objected to any of my officials appearing before congressional committees.
Including radio
television. I didn't want to include anything. I just answered the question.
Mr. President, our ex-colleague, Senator Moody, in Detroit, the day this all broke, stated that he had called Speaker Raver and gotten him at the White House. Is that the call you referring to?
Yes, he was on the other end of the telephone. May, aren't you satisfied?
No, sir, because my original question, which I thought about very carefully to close the loopholes, stayed away from the congressional jurisdiction.
That's perfectly correct.
I thought stayed absolutely in your own attitude toward your officials appearing before congressional committees with air coverage.
I don't think you ought to put that with air coverage on there. Whenever they have to appear or are invited to appear before congressional committees, they appear. And it's up to the Congress itself to decide on how the mechanism of the committee should be run.
And you would make no objection to what they wish to do.
I never have.
Mr. President, Senator O'Malley saw you this morning, I believe, on the prospects for state reform. I asked him why. Can you tell us anything about the results of that talk?
The fight's still on. When I start anything, I never give up until the last dog dies.
Are you going to take some move today that may help statehood up there?
I hope so. I hope they will.
Can you tell us what you will do, sir?
No.
Mr. President, Senator O'Malley told us that he was enlisted in that fight for the duration for both Hawaii and Alaska.
That's correct.
And that he would oppose any attempt to sidetrack the Hawaii bill with another bill until he disposed of that.
Well, that's a matter for the Congress to decide on itself.
Yes,
Senator O'Malley and I were discussing was the probability of a reconsideration of the vote by which the Alaska bill was referred back to the committee. And he's working on that now, but that's a matter of senatorial strategy. It's not my business.
President, the situation in our Indochina seems to be deteriorating. I wonder if the free world would say to the communists that any action in Indochina would bring about the same thing that they Korea.
I'm sorry, I can't answer that question.
Can I ask a couple political questions?
Well, sure.
this is a Pennsylvania question, which is only indirectly a question connected with the other. Richardson Dilworth, who's just been elected district attorney on the Democratic ticket in Philadelphia, has said that the Pennsylvania will go will be lost for the Democrats if you were the nominee, sir. Is that an echo of 1948?
I can't answer that question, for I don't know.
Turning back to television, Mr. President, were you in agreement with Senator Kaine of Washington in his rather strong criticism of Kefauver community telecasts?
I don't join anybody in criticism of anybody else. When I get ready to criticize anybody, I do it directly. Not by implication.
Mr. President, have you done anything lately about getting Bill Otis out of jail?
Everything's being done that can possibly be done to get Bill out of jail, and I hope they'll finally get him out.
Tell us some of the things.
No, I can't. Wouldn't do any good to tell you, because we'd tell the world then what we're trying to do wouldn't work.
Mr. President, some of your friends have been reported in New Hampshire as being concerned about your prospects in the New Hampshire primary. Do you share that concern, sir?
I haven't been consulted about it in the first place. Well.
Well, one more time, Mr. President. foreclose the possibility that you might announce your plans in Key West?
I do. That's foreclosed. You'll get the same answers down there you're getting here. I hope we'll be able to leave for Key West next Friday, if everything holds together, a week from tomorrow.
Mr. President, could you say again what Robert T. Barclay gets?
He's a member of the Federal Communications Commission. We'll be appointed.
He takes the place of Paul Walker, is that the...
Walker will be made chairman. The vacancy was caused by the resignation of Wayne Coy.
Well, then, Barclay takes the other vacancy.
He takes the vacancy on the Securities and Exchange Commission. And then I appoint a chairman after the commission's...
FCC, Mr. President.
I mean, Federal Communications Commission. Got so many of them, we get mixed up.
Mr. President, just to clarify my thinking.
All right, Tony.
You're not going to make a decision or an announcement until after you get back from Key West.
That's the program. That's right, Tony.
Might that be about a day after?
I won't tell you. When I get ready to make it, I'll let you all know so you can be there.
Realize you're spoiling a possibility of a lot of correspondence going down to Key West.
Well, now. I didn't spoil it. I didn't spoil it. I didn't ask the question. I don't know what we'll do for amusement when that situation is developed to the point where you'll have the answer. I don't think you'll have a good time in the press conference. I'm sure I won't have as good a time.
Mr. President, do you have any comments, sir, on the Lisbon conference and all its achievements?
It was a very excellent conference and a very successful one. Dean Acheson will explain it fully tomorrow night over radio and television.
There's a story in the Far East. President Truman is still contemplating to make a trip to Korea. Do you have any comment on that?
No, I can't do that. I'm sorry.
I can't make the trip.
Thank you, Mr. President.
It's all right, Steve.